Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. Bob Getty and Kelly Center. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio here at Elk Grove. Glad you're with us on a Wednesday afternoon. Talk a little baseball with you today, something we do pretty frequently this time of the year. 22nd-ranked Golden Eagles pull out a 9-4 win last night over the University of New Orleans. Jake Cook broke up a tie score with a 3-run seventh inning home run, and that was plenty. They added another run on top of that. The Golden Eagles win the game 9-4 to improve to 32-13 on the season. Baseball coach Travis Creel joins us every Wednesday. Look forward to these conversations. Coach, I'm curious about something. Game really tight until late, and then Golden Eagles pull away from it. I was wondering, you guys just got back from another enormously long road trip. Do you ever worry about these kids just being physically tired after making such a long weekend trip?
Yeah, I mean, you worry about it a lot as a coach. You know, I thought we gave them a good rest day yesterday. It was very light stuff they did. But yeah, look a little lethargic early for sure, and sometimes just late in the year, I mean, you're going to be tired whether you're on the road or at home or whatever. It's just, you know, you're 40-something games in. So, yeah, you definitely worry about it. But, you know, a good thing for us is we got kids who love to play the game, and I think that goes a long way of creating energy and creating an environment every day. So it was good to see us come out with a win.
And the Privateers, they were pretty competitive. They've got a winning record. It made me think of something Scott Berry used to tell us, and that was that everybody we play has Division I athletes, and they practice all week with the hopes of beating us. And so I thought they played last night like a team that thought they had an opportunity to capture a really big win.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and those kids don't get to play in an environment like that very often. So, you know, while it's intimidating for some, it's also, you know, it gets the juices flowing for kids who, you know, don't get to see this very often. And, you know, it's a good team. They've always been solid. They've been tough in the midweeks. I know they swept Tulane this year. They beat some other good teams, and it's a good lineup with some good bullpen arms. So, yeah, like Coach Berry said, man, it's Division I baseball. Anybody can beat anybody, and it was a tight one last night. I'm just glad we found a way to win.
Coach Creel, is it just me, or are we hitting more opposite field home runs this year?
No, it's not you. Well, you know, I think we're just hitting more home runs in general. You know, we're at the 75 mark now, with a lot of doubles to go with it. But, yeah, we have guys with backside juice. You know, Ben Higdon's natural powers to the backside. Russo's natural powers to the backside. Monastir has power to all fields. You know, Gillespie can leave it to the backside too. So, yeah, it's a really big, strong team, Kelly, and I think that's probably – while you're seeing that, for sure. So, yeah, definitely more backside homers. I think it's going to be more homers in general just as well. But it's a deep, long, big, strong lineup.
So how are players, when you say they've got the backside juice, what is it about their mechanics? Because it used to be in the old days of baseball, they said the guys that would hit opposite field had slow hands that weren't getting through necessarily on the fastball like they should. Got, you know, right, hit where it was pitched, but just weren't getting through with it. So what is it about mechanics in a swing now that allows players to have, because scientifically they should obviously have more power pulling the ball, but man, you got a bunch of guys hitting them the opposite way.
Yeah, I think it's two things mainly. One is their direction. You look at the guys who hit the backside balls really far. Their chest is really, like Higdon, for instance, on his homers, you know, that chest never really gets past the pitcher. I mean, it just really keeps that good direction toward the middle backside of the field. And Russo's the same way. Another thing would be contact point. Those guys hit the ball a little deeper. We call it staying behind the ball. They stay behind the ball a little better than others, where Pato is a guy who really likes to hit the ball up front. And that's why he's got more juice to the center field, to right field side of the field. So, you know, every hitter's different. I don't think you can coach hitters to be, you know, cookie cutter type swings or approaches. You got to kind of coach them to their strengths. And we definitely have some versatility with that in our lineup. So I think it kind of makes us tougher to pitch to at times.
75 home runs, Coach. Are you surprised by that? That's an enormous output.
No, I'm not surprised. You know, I'm happy with it. You know, I think we can keep going and, you know, hopes to, you know, shoot. I think we got a chance to break the school record. That'd be great. No, I'm not surprised. Kind of the personnel we have, how we've recruited. We got big, strong guys, and that's what we need to do to win. You know, we're not gonna single you to death. We're not gonna steal very many bases. We need to hit doubles and homers. And you know, so far this year, we've done that.
One player that we're hoping to talk to this afternoon is Ben Higdon, and you know, this is a kid that came here from Kentucky. I know there were a lot of expectations early on. He didn't really show a lot, but man, he has really come on. And boy, that's a nice addition to an already good offensive lineup, right?
Yeah, it's huge. He's you know, another just scary threat that can leave the yard. And like you said, you know, he had his struggles early. But, you know, you look at Ben, and I know from the outsider's perspective, it's, you know, he's a redshirt junior. Well, he's never had a Division I at bat before, you know, and he's never played in front of 5,000 people before. And that takes some getting used to, and that's why experience is so huge at this level. And now I think he can really slow his mind down. You know, it was never a physical, you know, his swing hadn't changed from March to now. His mind has. And, you know, the mindset is everything, being able to slow it down and be yourself. And when he's himself, he's really good.
One of the things that I would think is on your coaching plate, Coach Creel, is the fact that it's no secret how hot Monastir has been. And I personally don't think he's going to see a whole lot to hit the rest of the year. But you've got a guy up there that wants to hit, and there might be a tendency to swing at pitches that might maybe aren't the greatest because of the great desire to hit. So how do you handle a guy mentally like that that probably is not going to get a whole lot of good pitches to hit the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think, you know, the good thing we have going for us on that is Nick's just maturity and experience, where he'll take his walks now. I think if this was a year ago, we'd be like, oh, man, yeah, you're right. He's going to start swinging at pitches out of the zone and things like that. But he's come so far from that standpoint. Yeah, I'm not really worried about it. I think, you know, he'll be mature and take his walks. The key for us with that, and I think you're right, Kelly, is if Cook gets on base, you know, you can't pitch around Nick. So we need Cookie to keep getting on base. And then, you know, if they do pitch around Nick, we need Bull and Tuna to you know, drive him in. And then that'll stop that too. So I like him in the two-hole for that reason, because it's hard to pitch around a two-hole hitter. You don't want to walk the second hitter of the inning, even if Cook gets out. So, yeah, you're right. You know, he's on fire right now. He's seeing it really well. And I'd pitch around him. I'm with you. But, you know, I think for us, it's good to have, you know, Russo, Tuna, and Cook surrounding him.
Yeah, just to reiterate, that is good news for the 3- and 4-hole hitters then, because you got to pitch to somebody, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Could there have been a better time for Jake Cook to get his first collegiate home run last night?
No, there could not have. That was awesome. That arm was really good. He was really good. Righties were hitting under 100 on him all year. And I was really hoping we could get Cook to the plate that inning. I thought he had a chance for a 2-out RBI single. I didn't know he was going to blow the yard. But that was awesome. That kid hadn't given up an extra base hit all year until that swing.
Wow.
So it was Cook's first homer, and that kid's first homer he gave up. So that was clutch.
Our guys celebrate to such a degree that I'm worried, seriously, that one of our players is going to get hurt.
Celebrating. They are pretty enthusiastic, aren't they?
Especially that one last night in the dugout.
Yeah.
I thought
they
were all going to
be pretty excited over it.
I don't even know what goes on in there. I can't see it.
Well, I tell you too, Coach, it doesn't hurt when your 9-hole hitter is 3-for-3, does it?
No, it does not. You know, Ozzie, when he's going right, he's a, I mean, he had over 400 in conference play last year. So, you know, you got your 9-hole hitter, and he's really looking like himself these past couple weeks. He was great. He was great in Boone, North Carolina this past weekend. And you get him rolling, and it's a long, long, long lineup. And, you know, we got to keep him rolling because, like you said, if he gets on, he's basically a second leadoff hitter to get on in front of those big boys.
Yeah, and he's cooking pizzas tonight, isn't he? And Wednesday night, Ozzie's night to cook pizzas, I think.
I think that's his night. We tried to make it where he didn't have to, and I think he just likes it. So he chooses to do it once a week.
Well, hey, maybe he's getting free pizzas. Maybe that's what
I'm
it
sure
is.
I'm sure he is.
He's a man of the people. He wants to be out there.
He wants to be the pizza man.
That's right.
Hey, when we come back, Coach, we talk a lot about Monastir's offensive prowess, but my God, what a play he makes last night in the eighth inning. An incredible double play. We'll talk about Nick Monastir's defensive prowess as well and what Coach Creel thinks the future holds for this great young man. We're talking to baseball coach Travis Creel, our good friend, and the guy we enjoy our Wednesday conversations with. As the Golden Eagles now just continue to roll, Kelly, I got the sense there. I'm getting the sense it's one of those late season streaks that they have a tendency to get on.
Yeah, I thought after this weekend that it was the first time that, for what it's worth, that I felt really good about both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
And they're rolling. Keep it going.
They are. We'll be right back. Travis Creel on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, Dickie's Barbecue sponsored that opening segment of the show. We really appreciate all those guys. And this segment sponsored by Campus Bookmark, campusbookmark.net on Hardy Street. Hey, don't forget, we're going to be at Fuzzy's Tacos, and that's maybe our favorite or remote location. Friday, we'll be down with Justin Harris. Going to be talking to Justin a little later in the hour about that appearance. But right now, we're talking to baseball coach Travis Creel. Golden Eagles coming off a Tuesday night 9-4 win over UNO. Coach, we talk a lot about Nick Monastir, and everybody's talking about how great a hitter he is. But how about that double play that he started last night in the eighth inning? Number one, a big play, and number two, just spectacular stuff.
Yeah, that was beautiful. And Nicky is so athletic that he always makes those big time plays. It seems like every time he makes an incredible play, like, the game's on the line too. You know, he just got that clutch gene about him. But so proud for him. You know, he came in and, you know, was a solid defender, nothing crazy, and he just worked his way into being a premier second baseman in college baseball. So it's been awesome to watch him grow.
But yet we hear, Coach, from some big league scouts that when Monastir is taken, it may not be as a second baseman, but they really don't specify what position they might have him pegged for. What say you?
Yeah, I don't think they love. I mean, he's got a bazooka, but it's a little bit of a tight arm action for a middle infielder to be in the big league type, you know, level. I think for him, you know, his sell is his versatility. I think he could play second, third, left, center, right. So you're looking at a guy who can really hit, run, and play five positions. I think that's a guy I'd want in my organization for sure.
Well, the bad news about all of this is they really have their eyes on him, don't they, here in his junior year?
Well, they're not stupid.
You know, and it is always like, you know, somewhat bittersweet just because you grow such a relationship with these guys, and obviously you love to have them for 4 years, but at the same time, you know, when they earn it and then they're great kids and do everything right, you know, you hope to give them that big paycheck, man. He's worked his tail off to get it, and hopefully it works out.
And and it's a great recruiting tool because any potential recruits for Southern Miss knows that they're going to be developed.
Right.
Because they all want they all want to go to the big league level. Right.
No, I mean, when we're talking to a kid, you know, the first thing I bring up is, you know, our attendance and our fan base, and probably the second or third thing is, you know, our draft picks over the last 5 or 6 years. So who wouldn't want to go play in front of 5,000 people with a team that gets, you know, 4 or 5 players drafted every year? It's a great sell. It's an easy sell as a recruiter for sure.
No, wait a minute, Coach. The Eagle Hour is nowhere on that list? As a
Eagle Hour is like number 2.
Oh, okay.
I'll bet that is. I'll bet that's true. Have you ever sat back, Coach, and just maybe kind of fantasized and you think back about the kids that left after their junior year and what would have happened if those kids had stayed their senior year and how it would have maybe changed the outcome of some of the postseason play?
Yeah, you try not to, but you do. One for me is Trimble, because we only got to play one full year with him. Mm-hmm. And that 22 team makes a super regional without him, so that was hard. But, you know, some other times, man, it's for the best. Like, we had a second baseman leave to go to grad school somewhere else, and if he doesn't, you know, Monastery probably wouldn't play as a freshman, and he wouldn't hit a home run against Tennessee in a super regional and grown to be the player he is now. So it definitely is a double-edged sword where, you know, you hate to see players leave for the draft, but it also, you know, if McIntyre comes back, we may not see the emergence of Cook. You know, who knows?
Right.
So
right.
It definitely works both ways.
Now, you got the Arkansas State Red Wolves coming in this weekend. I was talking with Matt Stoltz, their play-by-play guy, earlier today. And I said, how do the Red Wolves like being called Nichols 2.0? And he said, probably about as much as your football team likes being called Marshall 2.0.
He put you in your place, didn't he?
He did. But my point is we've mentioned Nichols as a regional team the last couple of years. This is not the Red Wolves teams of the past, Travis, coming in here.
No, Mike Silva, one of my good friends. We worked together at Louisiana Tech. Coach Rhodes and him worked together, Nichols together. Great, great baseball coach. Tremendous program, you know, revolter. He showed that at Nichols, who took a terrible losing program to back-to-back conference championships. And, you know, I think they're sitting in like fifth place right now in the Sun Belt. He's just a great baseball coach, man. He does a great job. They have really good players. I think they're third in our league in pitching. They've really pitched the ball well this year, and they kind of try to manufacture some runs offensively, and they try to win low-scoring, close games. And that's kind of their MO.
What worries you the most about them, Coach?
Haven't really dove into them a ton. That'll really happen in about 2 hours and then go through tomorrow. I just know, you know, statistically, their pitchers have had a really good season. I mean, they're pitching at a really low ERA. They don't strike a ton of people out, but they just get a lot of weak contact. And I know they're going to be tough. There's not a Mike Silva team that's not going to come in here and not be tough. I promise you that. So it'll be a fight. It'll be a challenge. They're playing for a lot. You know, they're playing to make their first conference tournament in a long time. Mm-hmm. So it'll be an intense series.
Actually, when you look at the last three series for the Eagles, you got the Red Wolves coming in this weekend. Then you've got the Cajuns. And then you end the season by going to Troy. Those are all teams that are breathing down Southern Miss's neck. Mm-hmm. In the standings.
Yep.
So these are probably the six biggest games coming up in that series.
No, you're right. And, you know, it's what it's all about. This is what, you know, May baseball is about, is big-time games. And this is why kids come here. You know, this is why kids want to play Division I baseball, are these series and these tournaments and things like that. So this is what it's all about, man. This is where the men kind of separate from the boys. And, you know, I like where we're at as a group right now, and, you know, we're playing good baseball, and
hopefully it continues.
You guys are not saying that you think those kids from Louisiana in 2 weeks will come in here with that nasty Cajun attitude that they always seem to have, huh?
I just know that when their fans come to town, the beer population goes way down. So they travel pretty well.
They're just always tough from Louisiana, Coach. Why is that?
Well, it's a great tradition. It's very, very similar to kind of our trajectory of just they have a great fan base, they have a great facility. They're in a great region to recruit East Texas and South Louisiana. So it's a great, obviously a great program and have been for a while.
Travis, I want to ask you about Davis Gillespie. How's he progressing?
Yeah, no, I think you're seeing some good stuff. There were some mechanical adjustments that had to be made. I guess he started, it was last Tuesday against Southeastern, hit a double, and then, he got to start Friday and hit a homer, but then had some rough at-bats after that. We pinch hit him Sunday, had a nice at-bat. And then I thought, he gets on base 4 out of 5 times last night, so I like that a lot. It's kind of a work in progress mechanically. But I think his mind is in the best place it's been in a while. I think he's kind of freed up and kind of ready to have some fun. I like how Oz, we stuck him in the 8-hole last night just to kind of take a little pressure off. And I thought he had really good at bat.
Because statistically there at the bottom part of the order, 7, 8, 9, you're going to statistically see more fastballs the further you are down the batting order. So that does take the pressure off, knowing that there's not as much guesswork involved.
Surely, 100%.
Hey, one player I want to ask you about before we run out of time here, because I really feel good for the kid because he had really struggled as Cross Sibley. But am I right now? This is two appearances where he's looked a lot more like the old Cross Sibley. And if I'm accurate about that, how important is that going down the stretch?
I think you're very accurate, and it's huge. I think he's a big determinant of how far we go and what all we accomplish as a team. And you're right. I mean, the past couple of outings, he's looked like himself, and it all starts with fastball command. I mean, a lot of people like to overcomplicate stuff, but when he commands a fastball inside and outside, he's really tough. And when he doesn't, just like any pitcher, he's not. So he's commanded the fastball really well. He was great at App State. And then, really good again last night. So I think you're spot on, Bob. I think that's a huge part of our team, and we need him to keep rolling.
And the best thing about Cross Sibley, too, Bob, we've kind of talked about this. If there was a kid that was ever mentally born to be a pitcher, it's Cross Sibley. Nothing bothers that guy. Mm-hmm. He could be watching a movie in a theater, and the theater could be burning around him, and he's going to just sit there and watch the movie. I mean, that's the best way I know to describe. But that's what you have to have as a pitcher, is not to – when you're at the ballpark and his parents come in, his parents should not know whether they're winning or losing the game, and you'd never know by the way that Cross Sibley acts. And I just think that's a pitcher so important.
You agree with that, Coach?
I do. I think it kind of goes for hitters too. But, being able to flush, bad outings, being able to flush bad pitches and move on. But you're right, Kelly, he's a very even-keel kid. He always stays in the middle. That's what we like to say, stay in the middle of the ring. Don't get too high, don't get too low, just stay in the middle. And he kind of does that to a T.
Hey, real quick, we're about to hit the break, but were you surprised out in North Carolina how many Golden Eagle fans there were and how loud and boisterous they were?
I really was, and I'm usually not surprised by our fans, but I was surprised about that one. And I think we almost overpopulated App State at third place. That was awesome.
It was good. Hey, always enjoy our conversations, Coach. Look forward to a great weekend and talking to you next week.
All right, appreciate you guys.
Travis Creel, everybody.
Hey, I wanted to ask you too, that lady from App State that gave you so much trouble at last year's tournament.
I thought about her.
I'll bet you did. We'll have to tell people that story again.
I did think about her and kind of regretted I wasn't there to converse with her.
I'll bet you were.
If you know what I'm saying. Hey. We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, really appreciate Travis Creel joining us every Wednesday. Always a fun conversation. Headed out right after the show to practice, and we're going to have some good interviews for you the next couple of days. Two or three different ball players. One I want to talk to is this Higdon kid from Kentucky. He's really made quite a splash, Kelly, and it just kind of tells you the reach that the baseball program has now in recruiting, I think.
And when you look at the list of potential candidates for head coaching positions at Mississippi State, the Kentucky head coach is on just about every list that you can think
of. Some connection there?
There is. Yeah. So there's a Kentucky connection there, has taken them to the tournament. And so most of the names are high-level SEC assistant coaches. Head coach at Kentucky, head coach at East Carolina, and the head coach at Troy, of all places, who used to be an SEC pitching coach. So those are like the top five that are getting most played.
Money.
Of course. I don't think any of them are going to have to worry about it.
Yeah. We were talking, and you kind of made a little joke about it, about Arkansas State being Lamar 2.0. And
Nichols
2.0. Yeah. And, of course, the football team is Marshall 2.0. And then yesterday we had that, I thought, very interesting conversation with that professor from out west, and who's really dived into all of this about college athletics. And I've said this before, and I've taken some criticism for it, but this is just not a good thing, Kelly. This is just not a good thing.
No, when Quinn Ewers at Texas is drafted by the Miami Dolphins in the seventh round, and he will have to take a huge pay cut to play in the NFL.
But what does that say to you about college athletics?
It tells me that I'm out, that I'm going to the house pretty soon if college athletics keeps going. Like, it's just not as enjoyable for me. But there are younger people, and it's a free country, and they can have the, they would say it's about time that people like me go to the house anyway. So I get it. You know, that is America, and it's just the way that we were brought up. But with all due respect, Bob, I don't want to go any further until we talk about what we joked about going into the break. You know, App State, the Eagles had a great sweep over the Mountaineers this past weekend. To give our listeners some background, it was the conference tournament last year.
The year before last.
Okay, 2 years ago. Yeah. And it was in Montgomery.
It kind of carried on last year.
And there was one particular woman who was an App State fan, and she was the wife of an upper-level official at Appalachian State.
The head coach.
Well, you said it. I didn't. And she wore you out.
We were in the media suite, so to speak, and right next to us was the suite for the App State coaches, right? And we had heard her earlier in the tournament. She was vocal. Can I say that? She
yes.
was very vocal. Well, so Southern Miss played them that morning in a morning game, and the Golden Eagles were just terrible. They just didn't play well. They got beat 4-2. They were lethargic.
That game. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you. She heard us cheering early on for the Golden Eagle. And, buddy, when the Eagles began to play poorly and App State got this lead, man, she turned on myself and my daughter. My daughter was with me. And she started letting us have it. And, I mean, every time something good would happen, she would look right in it. Keep in mind, she's 10 feet away from us, and she would look at it at the top of her lungs, App State! And this went on, and we just had to take it. So later that afternoon, they play again. Golden Eagles 10 run them. I think it's 11-0. Well, let me tell you, I had to keep my daughter by the arm because she was ready to give it right back to the App State lady. And so that kind of went on for a while. We didn't really say too much to her. We hooped it up pretty good, you know. And let's just say we weren't going to have Thanksgiving dinner together. Well, I think she remembered us because last year, kind of the same scenario. And they jumped out, I want to say, about 3-0, and she ramped it up. And then Monastir hit a big home run to take the lead, almost knocked the scoreboard down. He just drilled it. And I couldn't totally control her, so my daughter looked her in the face and screamed, "Well, how do you like us now?" And she didn't like that. And then they have a whistler. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I was aware of that.
And he just whistled and whistled and whistled and whistled and whistled. At one point, my son-in-law hollered out when the crowd kind of died down, "Is that a hillbilly mating call I hear?" Oh. All in good fun. Oh, all yeah. in good fun.
Sure.
All in good
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, calling so. Somebody in Boone, North Carolina a hillbilly. That's all.
So
in...
I thought about that charming lady a little bit this weekend and only regretted that I wasn't one of the Southern Miss crowd that was there.
I'm impressed.
All in good fun.
With your daughter. You know, lots of times we don't give women enough credit for being competitive and ready to knock each other out. But
they haven't met my daughter. And she's an avid Golden Eagle fan. She texted me last night and asked me, do they ever make it easy on us? This is when it was 4-4. And they don't. Is there any truth to this, Kelly? Playing to the level of your competition.
Oh, sure. That's the biggest concern you ever have. Is on paper, if you're supposed to squash somebody, I mean, you're human. You're human. You think that we can just steamroll people. And another way that it comes into play is if your stud pitcher's going. Mm-hmm. You're thinking, well, he's been killing everybody all year. Mm-hmm. So what happens to the bats usually in those games?
Yeah.
They don't score any runs.
Right.
Because they're thinking this guy's been doing it by himself all year long. So there's many different examples of how.
Was that an example last night of that, you think?
Well, Southern Miss, when you look at really, Bob, the whole season long, the Eagles don't really get out to great starts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were in the production meeting, you kind of hit the nail on the head when it's like a snooze alarm with these guys. About the seventh inning, the alarm clock goes off. Oh, we've got to get to work now? Okay.
And then they blow the team off the field.
And they do. Yeah, that's exactly what happened again last night.
Yeah.
You just hope that when the games really start counting at the Sun Belt tournament and then a regional play, that they don't dig a hole too deep that they can't get out of later on. But these bats are capable of erupting at any time.
But you would agree. I mean, they're probably four or five teams capable of going to Montgomery, getting on a streak, and winning that tournament. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Maybe Troy. Coastal, obviously.
Coastal,
the
Southern.
Golden Eagles. Who outside of that? Who do you think – what team do you think has the talent that maybe we haven't seen all year that could make a run at this thing?
Arkansas State.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
And that's
concerning.
Well, and again, what Travis was talking about, what do they do best?
Pitch.
They pitch it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first – the alpha, the omega, and everything in between is how well you pitch it.
So does this series worry you this weekend?
No. No, I think Southern Miss is that good. I always have thought that they're that good because they've got a pitching staff that has settled now, you know, at least settled well enough that they're deep enough that they can make a tournament run, and they're deep on the offensive side of the on the offensive side of the ball. Oz has got some options.
Right.
Whether the other team's going with a lefty or a righty, he can counter. In a lot of different ways.
I still think in the end you're going to be proven right about the pitching staff. I'm sitting here looking. Seven innings last night, you have four relievers come in and pitch seven innings, and they give up two runs. And that was immediately after the first reliever came in, and then thereafter zeros up on the board for the last three innings. So you had Josh Ock, Camden Sustrom, Cross Sibley, and Colby Allen came in and got the job done last night.
And when you look at the Southern Miss program, regardless of who the head coach has been, and of course we've only had two in the past 10 years, Coach Barry and Coach Ostrander, but one thing that has been consistent throughout both tenure, pitching staff has been consistent, been consistently good. And to me, when you're in that mode, you got the added bonus this year of you got some sticks. And Coach Creel alluded to it earlier, 75 home runs this year and more to the opposite field than in a long time. I don't know that they keep those statistics, but it seems to me we've hit a lot of oppo tacos this year. And if you've got guys that can go the opposite way, that's just going to make you even tougher to beat.
Yeah. So. Real quick, before we get the news and notes last segment, you do the PA down at Pearl River. Man, that's a juggernaut in action, isn't it?
It sure is. They won the MAC for the fourth time in the last 5 years. They're going to host the Region 23 Junior College Tournament next week down in Poplarville. If I'm not mistaken, I want to say Pearl River is 44-5, something
and
like that.
What is their strength, Kelly? Pitching? Hitting?
Yes.
Pitching?
Primarily. I mean, they can – and a lot of other junior college coaches will have said, we can hang with Pearl River – the starting nine, but they've got with their pitchers, they've got another 11 pitchers that from 1 to 11 You're mm-hmm. you're, and we've got maybe two or three.
Mm-hmm.
The and depth
that's
of quality
the difference
pitching
down the road, isn't it?
Pitching is everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when you're in Little League, you Little League coaches draft the pitchers. I know you want to draft these big guys that can hit the home runs, but I can take care of him in four pitches.
Mm-hmm.
The big guy ain't going to hit a home run off me. We'll mm-hmm. put him on first base mm-hmm. and then try to have him steal second.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Would you be pitching to Nick Monastir in
no.
crucial situations right now?
No, and in that last game, the bases were empty when he hit the home run, and people say, well, you would be putting the winning run at first base. I know.
Hell, the winning run was batting.
Correct. But he beat me before. I'm not going to let him do it again. If yeah. the next guy wants to do it, fine. And you can call it ego, whatever you want to call it. Monastir would not beat me. I'm glad he's on our side. Don't get
right,
me wrong.
Right.
But I'm saying, let somebody else beat me. But he's not going to do it twice in a row.
Nick Monastir, man, what a kid. 2-for-4 last night, scored a run. He just continues to amaze.
And the way the Major League scouts are talking about him, Bob, I believe I need to kiss up to him. He needs to be my new best friend.
He needs an agent.
Bob Getty.
We'll be back.
Esquire.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape, whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak. TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
The Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, DBAT sponsors this segment of the program. DBAT on Hardy Street, great place to take your children for baseball, softball training. We overlooked 4th Street Bar and Grill. I want to say hello to our good buddies there, and always appreciate everything they do. Baseball will be on the TV all weekend. You can be sure of that. And don't forget about our podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're very fortunate that we get invited to broadcast the show in a lot of places. And some places we like so much, we almost invite ourselves at times. And that'll be the case this Friday. We love going to Fuzzy's Tacos. And Justin Harris is the owner-operator there, and he's always so kind to us, a baseball guy, so we always have so much to talk to him about. And we're going to be down there this Friday, and, man, we really do appreciate it. I wanted to get you on the phone here for a few minutes, just let our listeners know what all's happening at Fuzzy's this weekend before we get there and after we leave.
Yeah, Bob, thank you for giving me the chance. Obviously, we got a big weekend playing with baseball this weekend, and then with our typical specials, everything we got going on throughout the week. And then with our Monday, just happens to be Cinco de Mayo. So it's not only going to be the weekend with baseball that it's crazy. We're going to carry that over into Monday with our, you know, in-house margaritas and a few other drinks we have that are going to be on special all day for Cinco de Mayo.
With this baseball team rolling the way it is, I guess that's good for business, Justin.
Absolutely. We're just having a conversation. I know it may be a reach, but I was discussing it with some other guys. But if we can stay hot and take care of business throughout the season and maybe get a win in the top conference tournament, I think we'll be back in the host home.
Yeah. You wouldn't mind a regional, super regional here, would you?
I wouldn't mind it a bit, Bob.
But, you know, a lot of people I thought were premature in counting the Eagles out for a regional. Because a lot of the regional hosting, too, is there precedent? And Southern Miss has hosted several regionals. They're certainly capable. The personnel at Southern Miss are capable of putting on a regional. I don't understand where the talk was coming from as to why.
And they packed the place.
Yeah, why they wouldn't be in the running for it. I just never have understood that.
Justin, you're a former college baseball player yourself. Analyze what you're seeing out of this baseball team.
Well, what I always say, you need to be playing your best ball at the end of the season at the right time. And obviously there's a little, you know, a few bumps in the road mid-season, which seems to be the case every now and then with the team. But then they get hot at the end like they are now. And if you're clicking on all cylinders and get those guys in on the baseball, I think, we're set for a prime postseason run.
Yeah, I would agree with you completely about that. Let's get back to Fuzzy's for a minute. One thing, we talk about the good food down there. I mean, I love eating down there. But, you know, you guys do a great, great job catering. You've done quite a bit of catering for me and my baseball friends. And, man, it's always exciting. Talk a little bit about the catering at Fuzzy's and what all you guys can do.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we can customize anything, but our standard, we just have a taco bar. You'll pick your two meats and, you know, your two sides, or the fajita bar, which is just with our fajita meats and veggies with the side items. And obviously it comes with our wonderful chips and queso, or chips and salsa, whichever one you choose. And then, we just get finished. Had three caterers go out today and got another three going out tomorrow. And we got a big one. 200 people off-site on Friday, actually, out at Paul B. Johnson. So catering is something we love to do. We love to bring the food to you and take care of it so you don't have to. So anybody that's needing to cater and got an event coming up, obviously May's a big catering month with graduation and everything else going on this time of year, beautiful weather and everything, give us a shout.
Did you say 200 people on one job tomorrow?
Oh, that's on Friday.
Friday. My goodness.
And Justin, I want to know too, when you look at a lot of other eateries, you've seen the price on the boards have had to been changed over the last 6 months or a year or whatever, because the high price of food, you hear about all that. But you guys really haven't changed prices. How have you, in the world, have you been able to do it?
Well, it hasn't been easy. We're just trying to hold the line as low as we can until we see some relief. I mean, obviously it's a fight daily, but hopefully we can get some relief soon and keep the prices where they are. That's been our goal all along, so we're trying to stick it out as long as we can.
There aren't many places, really, that you can take, and it's no disrespect to anybody, it's just the way it is. There are very few places that you can feed an entire family at as inexpensively as you can at Fuzzy's.
It's always fresh and good.
Yeah, and the kids' menus and things like that, too.
Yeah,
so.
All right, are you still letting Kelly come down there and do trivia, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, we got we frisk him and do a few other things before he comes in the building just to make sure he's not armed and dangerous, but we're still allowing him for now.
Well, you may stop it, Justin, when I tell you that when I get frisked, I enjoy it.
Oh, no. I'm sorry to end the conversation on that note, Justin. And
yeah, that's right.
Terrible to put that vision in your head.
I'll bet I don't get frisked tonight.
No.
It's over. You can count that out for sure.
Hey, buddy, we're looking forward to joining you Friday, man. We appreciate all you do with us, Justin.
Looking forward to it, Bob. Thanks, guys.
Justin Harris, everybody.
I might have something on me after all, Bob.
You're a sick. Have I ever told you that? You're a sick, and I won't finish how I always refer to you.
Yes.
Okay. It's true.
It is.
All right. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.